politicians that stand behind this group. Now, these conservatives are educated people, calculating, sober. They know international experience. They're able to rule people, and they know how to work with their opponents. It is these conservative politicians that may attempt to take the public life into their hands. In other words, under their control. Now, some members of Congress here believe that our top Democratic politicians, like Shevardnadze, were forced to leave the political scene because not one of the radical decisions for which they stood were ever put into practice. Neither the reforms of the bodies of power, nor the, let's call it, the divorcing of the government from the economy, nor a reform within the party, within the army, within the Interior Ministry, or the KGB. Although we are now working on the law on the KGB. But let's look at it when it's finished. My personal feeling is that in the final analysis, the Democratic forces will come out on top, and that there will be no dictatorship.
Frank's second question is, tell me about the Leningrad Hermitage Museum.
You know, that's just about as easy as asking someone to tell you about the Louvre Museum in Paris. I suppose I'll begin by saying that it's one of the richest museums of the world. It has 3 million exhibits, and they represent a vast range of art and culture of different ages, many nations. Here you'll find masterpieces of Raphael, Leonardo da Vinci, Titian, Veronese, Giorgione, Rembrandt, Rubens, Murillo, Velázquez, paintings of the famous French Impressionists, canvases by Van Gogh and Picasso. The Hermitage Museum has a first-class collection of ancient sculptures, unique gold articles found in Scythian burial mounds. Incidentally, they were on exhibit in the United States. Magnificent tapestries, precious jewelry, and porcelains. And speaking of porcelain, there's a Russian porcelain exhibit at present in New York at a store called Le Vieux Russe. I don't know how good my French is. It's on Fifth Avenue. I particularly somehow remember the Gonzaga cameo, which dates back to the 3rd century B.C. It depicts Ptolemy II, king of Egypt, and his wife. But guess who the owners of this cameo were? The Marquis of Mantua, a Habsburg emperor, the Queen of Sweden, then Napoleon and his wife Josephine. The place is always full. Every year about 1.5 million people come to see our largest and richest museum. And the exhibits are on display in 300 halls. Can you imagine the time it would take you to go through them all? Everyone gets museum fatigue, that's for a fact. I remember as a teenager, my dad took me to the hall where there was a huge exhibit of diamond-studded snuff boxes. What I was struck by was the number of these huge diamonds. I suppose that was a child's perception of the museum.
Joe, Frank's third question is, I would like information on Moscow State University.
Well, it's one of the more beautiful buildings, I'd say, in Moscow. An American friend of mine called the style in which it's built, the Stalin Gothic. It's a 32-story building. That's the height of its main tower. There's a spire that's crowned by a gold star in ears of wheat. It's about 1,200 feet above the sidewalk. The clock is 30 feet in diameter. It's enormous, and there's an enormous thermometer there. The student body, according to some American standards, I say, is not too big. It's 30,000, and there are quite a lot of foreign students from countries all over the world. It had 16 departments. I say had because they're always adding new ones. It has a hostel for out-of-town students with 6,000 rooms. In the assembly hall, if you remember, President Reagan spoke and addressed the students and staff when he was here. Well, as any university, it has several gyms, swimming pool, a museum of soil science, huge library. They also have an astronomical observatory. They tell us that to look into all the rooms would mean a walk of 90 miles. Today, Moscow University has the status of an autonomous body. They've opened a center for talented children. They also opened a laser center, a computer school, an ecological university, that's what they call it, a business school, and a sociological department. So you see, they're keeping up with the times.
Well, our second letter is from Mark Humanuk, Weston, Ontario. He wants to know whether you can buy a computer for personal use, and will it have an English keyboard?
Yes, you can now buy a computer with both Russian and English keyboards. They're expensive, though, but are available. If you watch our television, you'll see many commercials advertising computers.
Next question is from Joe Randall, Bellingham, Washington. I'm told Stalin changed the USSR national anthem, the International. It is unlike any other in the world. What is the story behind this change?
I fully agree with you that the International is one of the most beautiful, stirring, and moving anthems. That and the French Marseillaise. These two, I say, are unmatched. Incidentally, both anthems were composed by Frenchmen. Roger Delisle wrote the Marseillaise, and Degaeter wrote the International. In 1944, you're asking why it was changed, the Communist International was disbanded. We were allies then, fighting Hitler, and Stalin decided to change the anthem too. So what happened was this. The melody of the party anthem became our today's national anthem, and our national anthem, the International, became the party anthem. They just changed places, so to say. Now, if the decision was up to me, I would have kept the melody of the International and just simply changed the words, because nothing, as I've said, can equal that song. I remember British pilots here during the war used to go to our music stores here in Moscow and buy discs of the International. Incidentally, the composer of the present anthem was the father of the man who became famous in recent years, for many years, by being the conductor of the Soviet Army Song and Dance Company. His name was Alexandrov.
Here's another question from the United States. It's from Oklahoma, Mr. John Carson from Norman. His question is, why, after the revolution, was the capital moved from St. Petersburg, which is now Leningrad today, to Moscow?
Well, because it was thought that to keep the capital of a country like Russia on the perimeter of the country was unwise strategically.
And he asks, why was the Kremlin not fully turned into a museum?
Well, I don't agree with you. I think it has been fully turned into a museum, except for the assembly halls and the administrative buildings. What are you going to do inside the huge administrative buildings? You're going to have all the hundreds of rooms there open as a museum, and just empty rooms? Now, all the cathedrals, and there are many, are open to the public. And what is, I think, indicative is that services have been held in the Kremlin for the first time since the revolution. The diamond exhibit is open to the public, so is the armory. Then there's the Museum of the 17th Century Life and Applied Art of the 17th Century. Of course, the best place to visit is the armory. It has a unique collection of Tsar's thrones, including the ivory throne of Ivan the Terrible, a collection of old gala carriages, horse trappings embellished with gold and precious stones, a collection of armor, coats of mail, swords, spears, crossbows, dating from the 13th to the 18th centuries. Then there's a collection of bejeweled golden crowns, scepters, also highly valuable works by medieval gold and silversmiths from many Western and Eastern countries, all the way from the 12th to the 19th centuries. Then, of course, there are beautiful gala garments of the Tsars, and even the boots of Peter the Great. They're huge because he was a big man. The armory contains the world's largest collection of old English silver. On the territory of the Kremlin, you'll see the famous Tsar cannon, cast in the 16th century. In caliber, it is the largest gun in the world and weighs 40 tons. Then there's the famous Tsar bell. We use the word Tsar to mean huge. The Tsar bell weighs 200 tons, and it's the largest bell in the world. When it was being hoisted, it fell, and an enormous piece broke off. So you see, we both have a cracked bell in our history.
Joe, everyone knows about the Kremlin, and of course it's the center of the capital city, Moscow. But who built the Kremlin, and why?
Well, first let me say, what is the Kremlin, although you say everybody knows it? It's actually a walled fortress with a territory of over 60 acres. It dates back to the 12th century, when Prince Yuri Dolgoruki, whose statue stands outside the Moscow City Council, Prince Yuri Dolgoruki built a strong timber fortress. There were timber walls for protection against enemy raids. Then walls of white limestone were created around the Kremlin in the 14th century. And at the close of the 15th century, the old walls were replaced by powerful brick fortifications with battlements and mighty towers. These have survived to our time, and the total length of the Kremlin wall is 2,500 yards. In some places, the walls are something like 21 feet thick. You know, when in Italy as a tourist, I noticed many castles and walls in Italy that look very much like our Kremlin. And this was only natural, I found out afterwards, because besides the skilled Russian craftsmen brought from all over Russia, famous Italian architects took part in building the Kremlin. On some of the towers in the Kremlin, you'll find such names as Pietro Solari, or Aristotile Fioravanti, or Marco Ruffo. So you see, that's where we get the Italian influence. Through the centuries, the Kremlin has withstood a series of Tartar, and strange as it may seem to you, Lithuanian attacks. The latest was Napoleon, and today you may view the many cannon captured from the Napoleon's army in 1812.
Here's an envelope with a return address of Deer Park, New York, from Gary Becker. He asks, Christmas is celebrated by the Russian Orthodox Church on January 7th. Tell me about this difference in calendar.
Well, what is there to tell? Before the revolution, Russia and the Russian Orthodox Church followed the Julian calendar, introduced by Julius Caesar back in 46 BC. It was 13 days behind the calendar that the world uses today. So you see, Christmas Day, December 25th, was actually January 7th.
Next question from Joe Kramer, South Bend, Indiana. Is the Soviet Union currently phasing out the use of fluorocarbons to protect the ozone layer?
We are signatories to the 1987 Montreal Protocol, signed by 34 countries. These countries pledged not to increase the use of fluorocarbons, that is, of aerosols, and by the year 2000 to cut their use by half. And we are, I understand, adhering to this protocol and are checking its fulfillment. What is interesting is that the Leningrad Institute of Applied Chemistry suggested to use another gas, a mixture of propane and butane. In 1988, it was decided that two-thirds of our aerosols should use this new gas.
Joe, our last letter is from Harrison Ross from Opa-locka, Florida. He asked, does the Soviet Union have Social Security, and how do you compensate for inflation?
Our pensions are government-financed. We do not contribute to them when working. We get up to 100% of our pay when sick. We also have free medicine and free education that are government-financed, but both have been severely criticized for their quality. Do we compensate for inflation? Now, that's a tough question. You see, our General Conference of Trade Unions, our top trade union body, and the government have worked out an agreement. The biggest compensation is being received by young families or new families, families with many children, by pensioners. Then there will be no limits for bonuses for those that work. So far, we have no laws on a minimum wage. And what is bad is that the minimum wage that does exist is way too low. It does not correspond to the what we call subsistence minimum. And we still do not have indices for compensating the various wage groups. So you see, the people naturally are dissatisfied with the compensation. The prices of some products in this country today are growing by 2 to 3 times, whereas the compensation figure is very modest indeed. Well, I'll try to end on a positive note. Long-term deposits in banks will be getting up to 9% interest.
That, of course, is a 5-year long-term interest. Joe Adamov, answering your questions on Moscow Mailbag. Address your letters to Radio Moscow, Moscow, USSR. You couldn't do better than write us that letter. Your comments on this show are always welcome.
And it just keeps getting more and more exciting here at Brain Damage on WUSB in Stony Brook. It's 26 minutes after 10 o'clock. That was our regular feature, Moscow Mailbag, answering all kinds of questions. And, you know, I haven't heard of many of you writing in to Moscow Mailbag. There's nothing to be afraid of. You can just write to them, Moscow Mailbag, Radio Moscow, USSR, and that's the only address you need. And just say you heard it here on WUSB in Stony Brook. And we get $1,000 every time you do that. Oh, no, we don't get $1,000, but we get mentioned on the air of shortwave and all the radio stations in the world that carry this, and that's as good as $1,000 to me, anyway. Well, we have right here in front of us, this sound right here is the sound of a record that I had to do embarrassing things to get, but I managed to get it anyway. There's a very limited pressing here. I think they only pressed a couple of thousand of these records, and they've called them all back. They're going to re-release it with a different mix or something like that. So what you're going to hear is part one of something rather rare. I don't think they have this in any stores in this country. And if you're a big Audio Dynamite fan, as I certainly am, this is something that is really a must, I guess. Actually, it's not really big Audio Dynamite. The only person in here is Mick Jones. And actually, Dan Donovan was still in the band at this time, but he's no longer with them. The band is now called Bad 2, and consists of Mick Jones, vocals and guitar, Gary Stoneage, bass vocals, bass and vocals, that is, Chris Kavanaugh, drums and vocals, Nick Hawkins, guitar and vocals, and, of course, Flea doing all the roadie stuff. Dan Donovan actually isn't in here at all, even though he wrote one of the songs, co-wrote one of the songs, but he was involved with this production, that much I know. The record is called Kool-Aid, produced by Mick Jones with Climax and DJ Shaps, recorded at Sputnik Studios in the Center for Oral Arousement. I think oral gratification was something, oral arousement, that's even better. The songs we're about to hear, in the order in which we're going to hear them, is Change of Atmosphere, Can't Wait, Kickin' In, that one co-written by Mick Jones and Dan Donovan, and finally Innocent Child, and that will wrap up side one. Side two we'll hear next week, so you just have to plan ahead for that. So, without any further ado, the record Bad 2, Kool-Aid, name of the album, and we'll be back with phone calls and all kinds of other fun in just a little bit.
If I had my time again, I would do it all the same. Fully grown, and I know where it's at. Somehow I stay thin, while the other guys got fat. All the chances that I've blown, and the times that I've been down, I didn't get too high, kept my feet on the ground. Situation, no win. Lush fall, a change of atmosphere. I'm so cold, so I keep in. Gotta
delightful, delightful.
Personal change of atmosphere.
I wish I could sing like that. It's not everything, singing, you know. The only important thing these days is rhythm and melody. Rhythm and melody.
Well, they told me that it would be okay. And they told me what to say. And they gave to me, and then they took away. Yeah, they gave it to me. It was but a cool game.
It should be kicking in by now. It should be kicking in by now.
Wow.
It should be kicking in by now.
Wow.
It should be kicking in by now.
Wow.
It should be kicking in right now.
motorcycle into the sunshine. My TV is laughing, making me feel small, like I'm sat in a cell. All I see is these walls, and I never wanna see another shopping mall.
Things were changed, dude.
day tomorrow. The coffee you have, forget all your sorrows. Whoa. I wish I could have seen you when you could run wild. I would have liked to know you as an innocent child.
Yeah, you can tell he was in the Clash by that last part. That's Mick Jones with his new band, Big Audio Dynamite 2. And featuring Mick Jones on vocals, guitar, Gary Stoneage, bass, Chris Kavanaugh, drums, Nick Hawkins, guitar, and that's side one. We heard Change of Atmosphere, which I think is a really good song. Can't Wait, Kicking In, featuring bits from the song Free off the movie Flashback, and Innocent Child, which certainly was an interesting song, I'll say that. Side two we'll hear next week, and that gets kind of silly at times, but I'll reserve judgment until everybody hears it. But I'd like to know what people thought of that, you know, how you would rank that in comparison to the other albums that he's been involved with, and whether he's going up, down, or just staying the same. The program is Brain Damage. It's 10:56 here on a Saturday night, and we've got exciting news. Exciting news concerning a, despite the odds, despite everything going against us and despite everybody plotting against us, WUSB is limping out and trying to have a benefit show nonetheless. And within 5 minutes, you will have all the details about this benefit show. All the details. So gather your friends and loved ones around the radio and prepare for that important announcement, which is coming up, pretty much on the stroke of 11. And tripods will be a little late tonight, but they will be coming up none the same. They are in France, of course. 632-6901 is our telephone number if you want to be part of the call-in segment. We'll be doing that later, and we'll have a special interview and all kinds of fun readings and telephone calls and things like that. So stay tuned for that special announcement. Meanwhile, here's a clue. Okay, probably absolutely nobody got the hint, but maybe someone out there did. That's the band Citizen Fish. We heard a song called Charity, which is what this is all about, charity raising money for the radio station. And just got off the blower with Steve Kay, Turmoil Fame, on Wednesday nights, and it is confirmed. Yes, it is confirmed. We will be doing a benefit show, or they will be doing a benefit show for us. Excuse me. That will be on Wednesday. Excuse me. Wednesday, April 17th at 7 p.m. And Cringer will be opening up for them. And that's taking place, again, Wednesday, April 17th, 7 p.m. Now, you got to call us to get your name on the list so you can buy tickets. Tickets are $8, and they are limited, extremely, extraordinarily limited. So if you want to reserve tickets in your name, or you want directions to the place, of course, you really should reserve tickets in your name if you intend to go to the place, call this special number that we have set up for you. 632-9160. That's 632-9160 for information and to leave your name for the concert coming up Wednesday, April 17th, 7 p.m., Citizen Fish and Cringer. Now, we're going all the way to Holbrook. We're looking all over the island, and it's been hard trying to find a place that will allow us to put on shows. But as you can see, little by little, we're finding some outlets. It's not nearly as good as the way it used to be before all the doctrines and things were passed around here. Now, this past week, there was an event on campus here at the State University at Stony Brook, a new, I guess you'd say, club, a dance hall type of thing called Technetium Crossfire opened up. And we have the person who thought of this whole club with us, and he's going to tell us how it went. Wayne Meyer, welcome to Brain Damage.
Thank you.
How did things go on, was it Thursday night?
Yeah. Turnout was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
There were, by some people's estimates, upwards of 100, 150 mm-hmm. people. The place was pretty packed.
I heard there was slam dancing. Is this true?
Yes. There was a lot of slam dancing, considering the bulk of the music we played was industrial. And there was no problems with slam dancing, which seemed to be security's concerns before the concert. A lot of people were worried about it.
I think it's administration's concern more than anything.
Yeah, administration.
They don't really understand what slam dancing is. Maybe you could explain that to us. What is slam dancing?
Essentially, yeah, it started out with punk, a revolution. And more, it's just an outlet. It's music. When there's music, I see it kind of as music you can't dance to.
Mm-hmm.
And what better way to let off steam than to just slam around? And a lot of people don't understand it. Some people jump into the mosh pits thinking, you know, this is a good time to go beat the living whatever out of a few people that they don't like, or just to, like, pulverize some people. But it's all friendly, non-emotional, just running around, blowing off steam.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were allowed to have this particular event in the very same room that Stony Brook administration has forbidden us from having a similar event. The only difference being that your event was with a DJ and our event was with a band. Now, can you figure that out? What's the difference?
That is beyond me. Administration and Preston, especially.
Fred Preston.
Yes. I don't see where he...
Vice President for Student Affairs. Okay.
I don't see where he gets off. We had the slam dancing. It went fine. It went very smoothly. There was absolutely no trouble. And if you were to have the hardcore concert there, it would have been pretty much the same thing. Maybe a lot less new wave people, but it would have been the same thing, no problem, and everything would have worked out fine as it had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Handing down an arbitrary ruling like he did was unfair and shallow of him, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Now, you still had to deal with the policy of not allowing anybody from off campus really to come to these things.
The guest policy was strictly enforced.
What is that policy? How does that work?
There are two non-students allowed per ID holder, and that worked out rather well because we just went outside and found the non-students or non-ID holders and teamed them up with people who did have IDs.
Is that legal?
It's perfectly legal by the rules.
Okay.
So
the rules don't say that you have to know the people
no.
off campus.
You do have to assume responsibility for them,
uh-huh.
which was what that was.
Uh-huh.
And because, in general, there were going to be no problems, nobody had any hesitations assuming responsibility for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So it went very, very smoothly. There was no problems. There were, a couple problems in finding, ID holders to sign in guests, but once you found them, it was no problem.
So no incidents, no...
None.
Nothing to
that I heard
concern
of.
Ourselves with. Security was good?
Security was tight, and they did their job.
Mm-hmm.
And
you expect to have more of these events real soon?
Hopefully. The SAB chairperson I worked with discussed maybe having this in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly May or later April, and then possibly next semester.
Well, I hope you do, and I hope you put in a good word for us.
So thank
you. Once again, maybe in the future, we can have concerts to benefit the radio station and to benefit the community as well. And hopefully the success of your event will help convince people in power that the threat isn't a bunch of 15-year-old kids dancing in a strange new way, but the threat is not being prepared at all or just plain ignorance and fear. As usual.
Yeah. They administration should not have handed down that ruling that was unfair, especially to penalize the radio station at mm-hmm. that at the cost of their insecurities.
Well, now the only to clarify the ruling, the only way we can have a concert is if we have it in the auditorium. Now, the kinds of concerts that we've been having, you can't have in auditoriums because people want to dance. And if you're not allowed to dance in the auditorium, obviously, you can't. It's physically impossible. It seems discriminatory against certain types of music. I mean, yeah, we can have, a jazz show or a folk show or something like that, no problem. But something that involves moving around, we're not allowed to have, and that's not fair. It really is grossly ignorant, I think, of the types of music and the way things work.
It's self-contradictory, too, because last night there were two music events. Thursday night there were two music events that occurred that I know of. And tonight there's one happening also.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just as possible for an incident to happen there as well as at a concert,
mm-hmm.
If not easier. So, but security, being security is more alert, it helps, but it doesn't solve the problem. They should
mm-hmm.
rescind that ruling, essentially.
Well, do you think they're going to? I mean, is there any movement? Was something going on the student level?
Nothing. I know many students are discussing it. They look down upon it, objecting it.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you look at the newspapers, the press and the Statesman, and they're attacking it from all sides, and I know students are discussing it with administration. I've heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, let's hope something changes so that once again the campus and the community can be open to cultural events, which is what this is really all about, and that's really what we're here for. Again, congratulations on the success of your club, and if you're up to something in the future, I'm sure we'll be talking about it here on USB. Technetium Crossfire, is that the name?
Technetium,
sorry. Okay, no, Wayne Meyer here at WUSB discussing the club. And hopefully there'll be more events like that in the future, and hopefully we'll have our own concerts in the future, too. Again, our new benefit, it's kind of far away from campus, but it's the best we can do right now. It'll be taking place Wednesday, April 17th, 7 p.m. in Holbrook at the Holbrook Civic Hall, featuring Citizen Fish and this band we're about to hear now called Cringer. They're out of San Francisco. Again, if you want to be part of that concert, you have to get tickets in advance, or you have to at least register your name in advance so we can hold tickets for you, because capacity is not very big. And, you know, in a way, that's a shame. In a big way, that's a shame, because that means, obviously, we can't fit more people in there, and we're not going to do as well on this show. But the important thing is just to get some sort of outlet for this music. So the number to call for directions and to register your name, 632-9160. And again, Wednesday, April 17th, 7 p.m. And if anything else happens, we will certainly let you know here on USB. Now let's hear a song by Cringer. This is called Peace and Harmony. We'll be back, actually the Tripods will be back next with their adventures from France. We'll be taking phone calls and talking about world situations and all kinds of other things. 632-6901 is our telephone number.
Coordination with the Three Village Tobacco Farms proudly presents the exciting adventures of the Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. When we left Howard and Kathy last week, they had just landed in France for the first part of their vacation. Now as we join them, they're walking through the street. Well, Kathy, this is it. France. And it's just like I pictured it. Street cafes and everything.
Oh, yes. How different it all is from New York. So picturesque.
And look at all those cute little European cars. They look like little toys.
They do, don't they? But aren't they all on the wrong side of the road?
No. No, Kathy, they're on the same side we are, back home. You know, the right side.
Yes, I can see that. But I thought they drove on the left side. So wouldn't it be wrong for them to drive on the right side if they ordinarily drive on the wrong side?
Yeah, Kathy, I've never known anybody who could
phrase a question quite like you.
Thank you, Howard.
You know, there's something about this place that I totally forgot about.
What's that?
They don't speak English here.
Oh, you noticed that too?
You know, that could be a problem, especially if we want to communicate with these people at all.
You know, I have a book in my purse somewhere. It's from high school, when I used to study French. I figured we could possibly use it to get by here.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea, Kathy. I don't know a word of French myself.
I hardly remember any either. It's so strange to walk down this street and hear everybody talking in French.
Not be able to understand a word of what they're saying.
Oh, that's right. You know, Howard, even though I don't know what the devil these people are saying, I get the distinct impression that they're talking about us.
Oh, come on now, Kathy. Well, aren't you being just a little bit paranoid?
No. Listen for yourself. Oh, quiet.
I still don't hear it.
Les Americans sont très, très, très stupides.
I think I know what that means.
They are looking at us with a kind of glare.
Do Americans have a bad name in France? Do you know?
I don't think so. They supported our revolution.
Well, that was 200 years ago, Howard. Did anything happen recently between the two countries in the past, like a few months?
Gee, I don't know. I don't really keep up on world affairs anymore. Now, I don't even watch the evening news. Now that Walter Cronkite isn't there. It just doesn't seem to, you know, be any point.
Oh, Howard, look. What an enchanting little cafe.
Yes.
You think we can go in?
Well, I don't see why not. It is our vacation, after all. Let's see what it's like.
Everybody's looking at us, Howard.
Don't worry about it, Kathy. Don't forget, we're foreigners in a strange land. Here's a table.
I'm gonna try to order in French. See if I remember any of it, you know?
Well, here's the waiter now, Kathy.
Oh, garçon! Garçon! That's what they call them here, Howard.
Oui, madame.
Le moustique pardu, s'il vous plaît.
Très bien, madame.
I seem to do that pretty well, don't you think, Howard?
Yes, you did. What was it you ordered?
Oh, that's a surprise, Howard. Let me make sure I got it right.
At least we got rid of that mysterious stranger. I haven't seen him on land since we left.
Oh, I hope we don't see him either. He was a bit of a pain, a pest on that boat, don't you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I've had trouble with that, thinking that your Uncle Jonathan was behind the whole thing. I don't know. It's a puzzle.
Uncle Jonathan's been known to do some strange things, but I don't think he's behind this.
Well, you're saying that because you know, you're his niece. But I know him as a person.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He
did set you up on that island with, what's her name,
Brigitte Leroux.
Brigitte Leroux!
I remember her name for some reason. And that was not a pleasant experience, Kathy. And everything that I can remember that has to do with that man has not been a pleasant experience, including having to move out of Big Bear City.
That's because you left the island before Brigitte even showed up.
Brigitte never showed up. She was smart. She knew that Uncle Jonathan really didn't... They only even call him Uncle Jonathan over there.
In any event, yeah, I know they call him Ogilarch, right?
That's his last name.
Yeah. In any event, I don't think he's behind this.
Well, let's
he can
try not to even
tight,
think about
but
it.
I don't think he's behind this.
It was a strange thing, though, having someone who knew you on the
table. Oh, no!
What is it, Kathy?
I think I just ordered baked mosquitoes.
And so Howard and Kathy begin their vacation in France. Will the mysterious stranger catch up to them? And what, if anything, is going on back home? You want to tune in next time when we hear Howard say,
"You know, baked mosquitoes aren't too bad."
That's next time on the exciting adventures of the Tripod Family, a presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
Now, despite the odds, WUSB fights back and strikes out and lashes away to ask the proverbial question of the day, what's for lunch?
Good morning. Today, Thursday, April 4th, at Kelly Cafeteria for lunch, roast pork, fried rice, grilled cheese with tomato. Their hot deli menu is a turkey melt. Dinner is baked chicken, meatloaf with onion gravy, and mushroom cheddar quiche. Lunch at H is chicken chow mein, fettuccine primavera, and their hot deli menu is barbecue beef on a bun. Dinner is roast beef with gravy, chicken cacciatore, and Monterey vegetable bake. Lunch at Roth is a taco bar, cheese ravioli. Their hot deli menu is pastrami. Dinner is baked herb chicken, sausage and pepper hero, vegetable quiche. Danny Bright's Food Mall is open for lunch and dinner, serving Italian, Mexican, Chinese favorites. Thank you again for calling the FSA hotline.
Jerky melts? Has anyone here ever had a jerky melt? Oh, my God, every week there's some new surprise for us here at Stony Brook. Jerky melts. Do other schools get this kind of fare, or are we privileged? Well, I have an idea. Let's put an end to this. All right. And let's go into our other feature. And that feature, of course, being Confuse the Operator. But in this particular case, we'll expand that to confuse just about everybody. Best thing to do is always to get an operator to start with, and then take it from there. Makes things easy, you know. Here comes an operator. I see her. Hail, operator.
New York telephone. One moment, please.
Can I help you?
Yes, I need long-distance information, please. Overseas?
Hold on for long-distance operator.
Thank you so much.
One moment for an operator who can assist you. Thank you.
Oh, the drama. The
AT&T open. How can we help you?
Yes, hi. I need overseas information, please, for Melbourne in Australia.
Certainly. Please hold on for a moment.
Thank you very much. Melbourne, Australia is on the other side of the world, and we're going to find out what they have for lunch over there in their cafeterias. I assume there's a University of Melbourne in Australia. I mean, that's a valid assumption, wouldn't you say? I mean, there's a University of Chicago in Illinois, there's a University of Detroit in Michigan, there's a University of New York in New York, there's a University of Newark in New Jersey somewhere, I'm sure. So there's got to be one in Melbourne, right?
Okay, the name of the person or company you're calling is what I need.
Okay, I'm looking for the number for the University of the University System in Melbourne.
University, that's University System in Melbourne.
Actually, I guess it's called the University of Melbourne.
University of Melbourne. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. Please hold.
All right, thank you. It's got to be called something like that, and I'm certain that the operator on that end will know.
Good afternoon, what town saying?
In Melbourne, operator, this is the United States. We are listing for the University of Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the keyboard. Did you notice she said good afternoon? What can we draw from that? She's lying, she's wrong, or it's another day over there.
That is 3444000.
3444000.
Oh,
is that 3 the code number?
Yes, 3 is the code number, right?
Okay, the number is 4444000.
3444000.
Okay,
three is separate.
I understand.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay, bye.
Okay.
A lot of confusion
there. The country code for Australia is 61.
All right.
City code for Melbourne is 3.
Okay.
And the number for the university is 3444000.
Oh, wait, there's 2 3s in there?
Yes, that 3 is a part of the number. 3 is for Melbourne itself, and then the number begins with a 3.
All right, just so I have this correct here. It's 61
uh-huh.
for the country, 3, and then 4444000.
Right.
Okay, I think
I got it. 011 first. You're calling from some type of university yourself, so can you
yeah.
dial directly from that phone?
No, this is some type of university, actually. Definitely.
Okay, now can you dial directly from that telephone? That's why I question it.
Well, I'm going to bill this to my calling card. That way I don't have to
hopefully
deal with
the bureaucracy. Hopefully, if you're able to dial out, you'll probably have to go through an operator. Would you like me to put it through for you?
Well, actually, I'm gonna build this to my own phone system. So
you're ready to make the call. You just call the operator back. We'll put it through for you. But
okay.
It's not direct dial. What I'm showing here, you can't dial yourself.
Yeah.
Home.
Okay, I'll take care of it. Thank you very much for your help.
Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
Yes.
And a pleasant tomorrow. All right, we have the number now. Who are we calling again? Oh, yeah, the University of Melbourne. Okay, and we're going to call them and find out if they have jerky melts over there. Our number is 632-6901. If you want to reserve a place on our switchboard line, go right ahead. There's three places open, two places ringing. Whatever that means. Now we're going to go to my personal phone company here because I certainly don't want to build a radio station for calling a silly thing like this. And this is only for my amusement and not anybody else's. That's my personal dial tone. Here I go. Fortunately, nobody can decode these little beeps because they all sound the same. There. Like magic. It's a Saturday afternoon in Australia. What the?
This is the University of Melbourne. The switchboard is open between 8:15 a.m. to 5:45 p.m., Monday to Friday only. Internal extensions, however, may be obtained at any time by dialing 344, followed by the four-digit extension number.
What?
If you require emergency assistance on matters of university maintenance, please telephone 347-6296. Thank you.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. Okay, I could... Oh, excuse me, sorry. Ah! Beeping and buzzing. All right, everyone's going crazy here. Did anyone get that number? Did anyone get that? All right, if we have the number, we're going to call it. I don't want to call the emergency number. It's not the emergency number? Okay, let me access my... long-distance company again, see if we can actually get through here. You didn't get it. Oh, okay. So we're going to call that again. Or should we call the emergency number? No, we won't call the emergency number. We'll call them all over again and get the number straight this time. She talked really fast, didn't she? And she talked in Australian, so that made things a bit difficult. It's busy. Okay, we're going to get back to this, folks. Let's hear some entertaining music in the meantime, and then we'll figure this out. I think we've got the phone number here. She still talked very, very fast, but I think we actually got something. Okay. Oh, those magical numbers. This should connect us to something that will allow us to make our call. Oh, yes. I see they have about the same efficiency rate as we have here at Stony Brook. We have numbers that don't answer. So I guess there's nothing for it but to call the emergency number. We tried to play by the rules, folks. We tried to be nice people about this, but now we got to play hardball. (phone rings) 632-6901 is our telephone number. We've got one open line. We're going to go to the phones right after we complete our quest. The quest to find out what they have for lunch in Melbourne, Australia. Yes, hello. This is the University of Melbourne.
That's right.
I'm calling from New York, and I need to reach the cafeteria there. Do you have the extension for the cafeteria?
No, I'm sorry, I don't. It's Sunday afternoon here. Unfortunately, the cafeteria won't be open.
Oh, it's Sunday.
You've also come through on a maintenance department. You haven't actually come through to the switchboard of University of Melbourne.
Yeah, they sort of diverted me over to you.
Yes.
If the cafeteria isn't open at all on Sunday?
Not that I'm aware of, no. And also, by this line, I can't actually help you. I'm only in touch with maintenance people who will go and unblock toilets and fix elevators.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't really be what I'm after. Is there a number that maybe a student would answer or something, student information or something like that?
Well, I could put you through to the library.
That'd be fine, thank you.
Okay, well, I can't actually put you through. I'm afraid you'll have to redial.
All right.
The number is 344-5378.
344-5378.
That's right.
Okay, I'll try that then. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Boy. Toilets and closets and elevators and things like that. What fun. It's Sunday afternoon there. It's Sunday afternoon, not Saturday afternoon, because Saturday afternoon is already history. So, now we will try the library of the University of Melbourne. And this should be, without a doubt, our last attempt. I wonder why they say double four and triple four, and what happens if there's four fours? Do they say quadruple four? You know? There's four fours. Do they say triple four one? One four? Triple four four? Ah, it's been a long day. I guess it stands to reason that the library would be closed, too, if the cafeteria was closed. Making a lot of noise somewhere, you know, it's always nice to know. Well, once again, our quest has failed. But next week we'll try something equally ridiculous and hopefully get our foot in the door of success. And with luck, it won't get stuck. 632-6901 is our telephone number. Give us a call. We'll pick up the phone.
Today, Thursday, April 4th.
jerky melts indeed. 632-6901 is our telephone number. And, boy, time certainly is flying, isn't it? We have open lines. What's up? Playing with your touchtone phone? Is that it?
What?
Are you playing with your touchtone phone?
Oh, morning.
Morning?
How are you? Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Because say hi. How
there's
you doing?
Only a certain number of touchtones in your touchtone phone. If you use them all up.
No, that was an accident. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Just be all careful right. with that.
I just want to say, I agree with what you said about the pics. I've been in the old hardcore scene before it was ruined by all jocks and everything, and you're totally right. And I just want to say, I'm in a band right now, Nimbid.
Uh-huh.
So, is it all right if I, like, play a quick song for you?
Sure. Go ahead. This is a musical part of the show, so go ahead and play some
just
music.
Just thanks one first.
I'm sorry?
I just want to thank a couple of people who are listening right now.
Okay. Thank everybody who's given you inspiration, and go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I just want to thank Jade, U.S. Army, Lenny, Put Down, upcoming hardcore band, Iron Eggplant, funny band. I love them. Stackman, Matt Moss, and everyone who believes. The old punk scene spreading the hardcore reality. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, we kind of knew, so don't worry about it, right?
I'm not worried at all. All
right.
Now I'm worried.
Nah, don't worry about it. Come on, Seth. Wait, hold on. It's not coming on. Hold on a sec. Oh, sorry. I made a mistake.
Yeah, you're holding the phone up to the radio, right?
Nah, I forgot to put my thing on tape.
Oh.
All right, ready? Here it is. All right, hold on.
He's using a cordless phone, too.
Oh, I got a fast forward sec, sorry.
Oh, it's no problem, no problem. We've got nothing better to do here than to wait for you to
I
fast forward.
I thank people ahead of time.
Okay. You thank people on your tape, too?
Ready?
Yeah.
Here it is.
That was genius. There's more, okay. I can hasten to guess.
Why do you want to see me in pain? Why is all I ask without an answer? I look at you. Why do I plead to a father who cannot hear, who doesn't care, who isn't there at all?
I ask you, where else would you hear something like that but on USB? 632-6901. And I want to wish them luck, and hopefully we'll hear more from them in the future. Maybe they'll play a benefit for us. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Well, what have we here? Thank you. Someone has handed me a phone number. I'm supposed to call this, am I? All right. Another phone number to call. This is an internal extension. That's internal ring, I guess. Hopefully somebody will be home here. There's no answer. What's going on? Let's give it one more ring. All right, I'm going to hang up. Ah!
This extension is not accepting messages. To transfer out of phone mail, push 0.
How do you like that? We play that music and then they won't even talk to us. Wow. Okay, that's a mysterious little number there that that brings you another style of music. And if someone wants to call us up with perhaps jazz or pop of some sort, I'm sure we can accommodate. 632-6901. Thanks very much to the person for giving that to us. You can leave now. Goodbye. Good riddance. Good evening.
How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
All right, I got a question for you.
What's that?
If Pete and Repeat were walking down the street, and Pete saw Masuha, who was left?
Say what?
If Pete and Repeat were walking down the street,
uh-huh,
and Pete saw Masuha, who would be left?
Pete fell, Oh, no, I'm not going to fall for that. No. But that's good. That's good. I like that, but I'm not going to fall for it.
Why not?
I'm not going to fall into a sewer either.
Oh, come on.
No. I'm just not that kind of person.
And if you shoot a mime, should you use a silencer?
You're reading these out of a book, aren't you?
Huh. It's right off the top of my head.
You're making them up.
Yeah.
Well, somebody apparently likes them in the studio.
Yeah, who's that cracking up
at? I don't know, but someone really is enjoying this. Thanks for calling.
Boy.
Cries of torment here at the radio station. That's what we need more of. 632-6901. I'm not doing anything. Don't look at me. I'm not doing a thing. I'm not torturing puppies. I'm past that stage. Good evening.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
How you doing, Eric?
Okay.
Good. I just wanted to tell you, I pretty much like the new Big Audio Dynamite.
You're on a cordless phone, too, aren't you?
How did you know?
I can tell. I can always tell. But, I mean, everybody that calls me seems to be on cordless phones these days.
Well, you know, it's a great amount of freedom is allotted to you when you have the cordless phone. You can walk all around, you know. And since most of us like to pace when we're on the phone, I suppose you don't because you're sitting at a studio.
But don't you realize that everything you say can be heard on a radio?
Yeah, I realize that.
Okay. As long as you realize that, this conversation you're having right now is subject to people listening in.
Of course. I've listened to the show before.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, it's you know, a lot of people call me thinking that it's just between me and them, but it's, you know, sometimes people can listen in on your cordless phone calls.
No. What was that second part? Was that somebody had a little synthesizer, or did somebody play that with... I don't understand. What?
Well, I don't. There wasn't an explanation attached to it. I imagine it was, you know, a band of some sort. A lot of people getting together and jamming.
That's. It sounded like it was all done on synthesizer.
No.
Honestly.
Maybe that's possible. I don't know. It's.
What did you think of the call-in band?
The call-in band, I thought was okay. I mean, I've heard. Let's put it this way. I've heard worse on vinyl. I've heard worse on CD. Far worse. So, I think it's, you know, certainly capable of doing something in the future.
Well, it's a good thing that, you know, you let the people call in and everything and play their stuff on the radio, because that's like the only way a lot of people can get on the radio if they haven't pressed the album yet.
That's certainly true.
And I appreciate that.
That's what we're here for. We're not here to play the hits. We're here to give other people a chance.
Have you heard the other band? Oh, is it Havana 3 a.m.?
Havana 3 a.m. They're the Paul Simonon from The Clash.
Right.
And them. It's a very good album. And, in fact, they are going to be on David Letterman this Monday.
Oh, I'll have to watch that.
Yeah. But, yeah, I do like that album very much.
Anyway, you said that they were recalling this mix or something?
Well, what I had heard, and I heard this actually from Don Letts, who used to be in Big Audio Dynamite, was that there is a limited edition of the BAD2 record. And it was going to be re-released with a different mix. They're not actually recalling it, but they're not making any more.
Oh.
So this one that we have here is, it's they're not going to make any more.
Why is it? I thought it was excellent.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good myself. The second side gets kind of weird, so we'll hear that next week. I think the real BAD was better than this, but this isn't as bad as I thought it would be.
Well, I mean, you know, it's been a year since they put anything out. I think, what was it, they put out Free last year, and that was the last thing they put out.
Yeah, that was just a song in a film.
Yeah. Well, it was a pretty long song.
But the Screaming Target record is going to be out real soon. In fact, that might already be out. That's called Hometown Hi-Fi. That's with Don Lutz and everybody. In fact, everybody from BAD is in that group now, except for Mick Jones.
What is it? Hometown
Hi-Fi? Hometown Hi-Fi is the name of the record. Screaming Target is the name of the band. So that will...
Heard any of that? Or?
Sorry?
Have you heard any of that?
Well, I've got the 12-inch. The 12-inch has been out for a few months now.
Is it anything like the old Big Audio Dynamite?
It's like the Big Audio Dynamite where Don Letts does a lot of singing. It's like that, you know. Oh, okay. It's got a beat and it's got interesting lyrics, and it moves around quite a bit.
Great.
So it should be a good album. I'm looking forward to it a lot.
So what you played was not the new album.
You see, the band split in two. This is one part of the band.
Right.
This is actually Mick Jones, and that's it.
Oh, okay.
It's a new piece. It's sort of what happened to The Clash, you know. You recall they broke up, and then The Clash came out with a last record, but it wasn't really The Clash, but they still called themselves that.
Right.
So it's kind of the same
thing.
Sorry?
The Doors tried that, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it happens quite a bit, actually.
Yeah.
So those of you just getting into the music business, keep in mind the torment and heartbreak that awaits you when eventually you do break up. Because that always happens, you know. I mean, even the Beatles broke up. Actually, you know, the Rolling Stones have never broken up.
Well, actually, they have broken up. They just get back together again, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
I mean, they could hardly deal with each other during, when they released, I don't remember the name of the album. I'm sorry.
Well, that's because it happened several times, I think. But
yeah, the period about 1983 to 1986.
Uh-huh.
You know, they were really at odds with each other.
I think they should ask us, you know, the people listening that have to buy the stuff, if they should stay together. I mean, no one ever asks us. And I think it's about time they did. You know, I think they've said enough. I think enough already with the albums, folks. I mean, how many more times can you know, Mick Jagger gyrate around the stage and you know, sing these lyrics about women and stuff? It's like, you know.
Well,
all right, we get the point. We hear what you're trying to say,
Mick.
Now let somebody else say something.
He's managed to do it in quite a few different ways.
Yeah, quite a few different ways. But how long has it been now? It's like, what, 30 years? 30 years of gyrating around stages?
I think it's 27.
I don't know.
It is long. It's been a long time.
It's long enough. Long enough. Now, let's, you know, get a real job now.
Well,
some
people would say no, you know, and some people like that, and they'd want, you know, they want to hear more Rolling Stones. I mean, Flashpoint, the live album, isn't too bad. I heard it.
If Mick Jagger wanted to go drive a bus now, do you think he'd actually be able to do it somewhere?
No, definitely not. His ego is, like...
No, I'm saying if he wanted to, would there be any place that would actually say, okay, Mick, here you go, you start at this salary, and you got to join the union... You know, everybody would be making a fuss. His bus would always be crowded with people, and they'd be jamming in front of you know... And it's sad because he cannot experience life the way that all of us have the freedom to experience life. I mean, we can become bus drivers. We can.
Well,
right?
If that's your dream in life, you know. But
it's not my dream, but it's just something that's nice to know you can always do. If you want to. But I'm saying he cannot do that.
No, never. He's far too well known to do that now. He probably can't do anything. I mean, you know... Actually,
you're probably right. He probably can't drive a taxi either.
He's pretty safe in New York City, actually.
He'd probably be getting into fights with the other drivers because they'd think that he was, like, you know, cheating them because everybody always wanted to ride with him. That's so sad, you know? I mean, I really feel for the guy.
It's an interesting scenario. He has made pretty much a prisoner of himself.
What, do you think we can help him escape?
I think it would take a lot of plastic surgery for that, but he's been looking pretty different these days. I mean, he's gotten pretty emaciated.
Yeah, he's aging. It's called senior citizen syndrome is setting in.
Well, gain weight as they age. I mean, he's like, forget it. He's like, there's nothing left of him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's still wearing the same shirts he wore 5 years ago, and they just don't look right anymore, you know.
At least Frank Zappa ages with grace, you know. He does.
Well, you don't get to see too much of him either. I mean, he's not too high key, you know. He's not too in the public eye. Mick's always in the public eye, especially when he releases an album.
That's certainly true. Well,
none of his albums have done very well.
Folks, save Mick Jagger. Stop buying the records.
Yes, stop buying the records.
Help him lead a normal life again. All right, sir, thanks very much for calling.
Okay.
And we're going to move on to a couple more calls here. 632-6901, area code 516. 1152, you listening to Brain Damage. And we're here every Saturday night from 10 to 12 doing all kinds of... unpredictable things. Good evening. Are you there? I don't think they're there anymore.
Hello?
Ah, there you are. Go ahead.
Hooka, hooka, hoo.
That wasn't really necessary. That was a good evening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sort of.
Okay, I'm a young rapper, so can I play something for you?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening.
How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Not bad. Boy, this musical exhibitionism over here.
Yeah, you know, well, it's out there. It certainly is. There's a lot of it.
Whole new, I didn't realize what kind of talent Long Island has.
It's just lying there waiting to be discovered. Like, you know, when you turn over a rock and you see all the ants underneath.
I know, right? I was listening because about, had to be a little over a month ago that I was just flipping through the channel when that, and I heard your show over there, so I listened to it every time.
Uh-huh.
Pretty cool show and everything, so today I'm listening to it, and I heard that first band on.
Uh-huh.
Scary.
Scary, isn't it?
Scary.
It could be the next Rolling Stones.
I know, right?
Could happen sooner than you think.
Pretty scary. Okay, one quick, like, if we can be on a serious note.
Okay.
Okay.
I can do serious. Go ahead.
Like with the crisis and everything.
Uh-huh.
I know normally you really do a serious show on, for the most part.
Well, serious with tongue in cheek. You
okay.
See? It's you never really know when I'm serious, but you never really know when I'm not serious.
That's true.
It's a good line of defense in life.
All right.
Okay, but I am serious now.
Okay.
Excuse me. Go ahead.
Okay. This whole education thing. Governor Cuomo, my whole school district. Okay. Because I'm still in high school over here.
Uh-huh. Over where? Where are you? You're a little red light on the phone here. I don't know where you are.
Yeah, I'm in Comac.
Comac, okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
So my school district stands to lose $16 million next year if the governor's budget goes through. So we have to do everything like to stop this budget from going through.
Mm-hmm.
Already we're going to lose all our advanced placements and our athletics and our cultural activities. And who knows if we ever want to get a radio station together like you guys have over there at USB.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's all shot right away. So we have to start writing our congressman or whoever we get to write.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Why do you think the governor is doing this?
Because he can't find cuts in everyone else. Probably because he wants to please everybody. But I know you have to make cuts other places, but this is one place where you really can't make a cut.
Where do you think he can make a cut instead? See, these are the kinds of questions that you're going to have answers for.
Right, when they come and ask.
It's one thing to say, you know, okay, don't cut this, but, you know, it's not that simple. You can't just say, don't cut this. You have to say, cut this instead. Now, on the national level, it's very simple because you can say, cut all this defense spending and you'll have all this money left over. And if
you don't have a defense thing here, sir.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the states are affected by the federal budget. So
right.
The federal budget takes money away from the states and from social programs and things like that. Obviously, it's going to hurt us in the end, and the states are going to be the bearers of the bad news.
Right.
So, you know, you have to fight the thing at the heart of the problem. And I think a lot of this can be traced to the military madness that's been building up over the last couple of decades. I mean, you know, if you...
Someone had said that I'd heard, I can't think of whether it was on Primetime Live or some show, but if they took away half the money that they spent on the defense... Over the past 10 years, every American would be owed $10,000. That's including the little babies up to, like, the old people in the homes.
Uh-huh.
They would each be owed $10,000. Now, that's a pretty large sum of money.
It certainly is. And it's something that I think we're entitled to because, you know, how much you need to spend to destroy other people. You know, I was going to get into an article this week, but I'll do it next week, about the massacre of the Iraqis. You know, 100,000 of them killed. Lots of them running away from the battle, but killed anyway.
Right.
That's what your defense dollars are going for. You know, I don't think we needed to do that much. You know,
I think we have enough right now. Like, it's really good to maintain and to make sure everything works and everything. But I really can't think, okay, now a while ago you would have said, well, our threat was the Russians. But now I really don't think our threat is the Russians as much now. So you still have to keep it up, like, with Iraq and other nations like that that might be threatening. So it's good to keep up your defenses as far as that goes, but I'm really sure they can cut back some on defense. They can put it towards social programs or, like, education.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know my friends right now who go to SUNY schools, not only did they have to go through the $250 hike in tuition over there, but now they have to go through the cutting of the Empire and Regent scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's hitting them double hard for people who can barely afford to go to college as it is.
Uh-huh.
And this is a state school.
Well, that's certainly true. I mean, that's something that's hurting everybody, but it's not just confined to New York. You know, it's happening all over the country.
Right.
And it's a very sad thing to see happening when education is suffering because we're into all this military stuff. It's not fair. It's not right. It's not healthy.
Right. A suggestion for you, so if you can get, like, a congressman or somebody on
uh-huh.
to even talk about something that's been going on, or maybe even someone from like Stony Brook University. Over there, the administrator doing something.
Well, that's...
What time is your show on from?
We're on from 10...
We end up pitching you about 11 o'clock.
Yeah, well, that's when most people actually tune in. I don't know why, but 10 to 12 is actually when we're on.
Okay, I never knew you were on as early as 10. I always thought you were, like, later.
Uh-huh. Well, no, it's this is the time.
Okay, well, cool deal. Have a nice weekend.
Okay, thanks for calling. 632-6901. Good evening.
Hello, Eric.
Hey, what's up?
Hi, how are you doing? I got this really great song. You want to hear?
Okay, go ahead.
Thanks a lot.
Everybody's a musician. 2 Minute Silence by John Lennon. Oh, I'm being transferred somewhere. Is that it?
Hello.
Oh, very funny. Good evening.
How you doing?
How are you?
Do you like pickled herring and cream sauce?
Is this on a pizza?
No, just out of the jar.
Out of a jar. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
You can put it on pizza, too, if you want.
No, I don't do that.
Actually, it tastes better on pizza.
I do lots of weird things, but that's one thing I don't do.
It's not eating soup.
Well, it's a suggestion. I'll keep it in mind.
Try next time. Go to Renzo's Pizza.
Uh-huh.
Try it. It's pretty good.
Okay. I'll ask for it. Good evening. Oh, boy. Some people never get exterminated, unfortunately. Well, folks, I think that's going to do it for us tonight. No Sound Test is coming up next. And we will be back again next week. But don't forget, our benefit concert is coming up on Wednesday the 17th, 7 p.m., featuring Citizen Fish and Cringer. More information, call 632-9160. And leave your name if you expect to be on the list of people who want tickets. Simple as that. 632-9160. All right. Eric Corley with you tonight. I'll be with you again next week. Have a peaceful and harmonious existence until then. Good night.